Somebody fart?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I just heard that, but...
I tooted.
It's May 11th, 2018, and we just finished watching Season 1, Episode 21, the penultimate episode of the season of SEAL Team. CBS's SEAL Team.
We sure did.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah, we did.
I watched it from start to finish.
Yeah, so did I.
Surprisingly.
Did that too.
Yeah.
I guess like the first order of business, how did episode 20 do with the fans?
Last week's Larry Tung directed helicopter epic was a failure. So we can be happy that the Geminis still hold weight in the SEAL Team world, because the Canadian director had about 300 or 400,000 more viewers. So this week's only got 5.89 million viewers in the key demographic. But it still had the same 0.9 and 4%, so...
So just fewer people were watching TV.
Or, yeah, like, I don't know, like, maybe more old people watched it. Like, I just think it means that the ratings are fucking stupid, and we need to find a new way to, like, judge TVs.
Mm-hmm. I want to know about how many people watched it streaming.
Yeah, they didn't have that stuff up on Wikipedia.
So how was it doing on the most popular torrent site?
I also didn't look on the day after, so yeah.
Although, on that one. The actual ratings probably dictate whether it gets renewed or not. But it's already been renewed. It's for a second season, right?
Yeah, on TV Time it did pretty good. Everybody seemed to like it. It had 9.25, so that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, I think that how many people watch the episode has more to do with how much they like the previous episode than the current episode's director.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's it at all.
Okay.
What if it's just that it's the time of year that people are, you know, getting out and about in springtime?
Yeah.
Well, that was Margaret's joke last time.
It was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Except the opposite.
The opposite, like... that it's getting nice out, so more people are watching TV.
Well, if
Margaret... Yeah, I already made that joke.
If
for sure.
I missed it. I completely missed it.
Statement, is it all true, then last week's episode was pretty good because more people watched Jay's J-Day than any other.
Yeah. I considered... Okay. Yeah. So, well,
so
you know,
Jay's J Day got 6.15 million views because it's already had a chance to get its ratings in, and it still had a 0.9 and 4% of TVs.
It'll be interesting to see how the episode directed by David Boreanaz does.
Yeah, no, that's what I just said.
What?
Yeah,
6.15 million viewers. And a 0.9 and 4. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Oh, it's called Jay's J Day?
Yeah.
No.
Really? No, it's not.
Sure it's called J Dog Day.
Yeah, J Dog Day. I think it's technically it's called Graveyard of Empires. A very, very epic title. Yeah.
The Empire's
Boreanaz probably came up with that.
Referring to his psychosis.
But also maybe that his father was his father. Okay, so.
No, Afghanistan is the Graveyard of Empires.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes. Because, like, no one can conquer it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are they in Afghanistan?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Trash can stand. I guess we should start talking about Jay's J Day then.
Scene one.
I understand that you're still in touch with his wife and child. Particularly attractive Western females.
Big problem, Big Chief.
That was racist. That sounded racist to me. How about you?
I have an image that I think it opens with, but I think I'm wrong, so I'll let someone else start.
My favorite thing about how it opens was that it was just a fucked up focus. So Draper was in focus. The column behind her was out of focus. The guys at the table who were at the same depth as the column behind her were in focus, and both Trucks and Judd were blurry. So it was like a digital J fuck up of film screwery. Like, it was just awful.
So maybe, like, and this is spoiler alert, maybe, but this whole episode reeked of, like, it was all a dream, right?
It was such a, like, bullshit art school fucking film.
It was. So maybe this focus thing
will
come back.
Although the focus thing was mostly when you're looking at someone who had been concussed.
Well, kind of in his perspective, but at that point he hadn't been introduced yet.
So I didn't notice that there was a focus thing was issue a dream. In the control room, but I don't know.
There was a lot of close-ups, too, right at the beginning.
With fish eye lens. Jay loves the fish eye lens.
Yeah, fish eye close-ups.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Close-up.
Throughout the whole episode, there's tons of, like, bizarre camera, like, choices.
And is that the director's direction?
Yeah.
Like, film this.
Well,
it
could be director of photography. But
how much of it is the cinematographer? And how
a lot of it
is
Jay.
Director?
I think he was just kind of like really living it up in a director's chair.
Who wrote this episode? Adam?
Oh, yeah. God.
Adam
wrote this episode?
No. I mean, the writer of the episode, I think, also has like a large impact on, like,
how shitty the episode
is. Yeah, so I think so. Like, did David Boreanaz also write this episode?
Is it like a team of writers?
It's usually a team of writers.
Yeah, it's usually a writing room. In the writing room, one or two people will get the top credit.
Because they have to go and they got to draft it up. Like,
it'll
night
be someone's
up, then,
idea. It'll be like, they'll pitch it. Although not all writing rooms work the same. I know this because from my time in a writing room. But, if someone pitches an idea and that's the idea they go with, they'll get the,
they get a first draft going, and then they bring it by the next day, and then the whole team works on it.
Yeah, it was Ed Reedlick and Spencer Hudnut, and Spencer Hudnut is one of the, like, he's pretty common. And he wrote like the third episode. So, and Ed Reedlick, I think he was kind of like a, like, he was brought in to spice up a couple of the episodes. He seems to be pretty well known in the writing world.
Oh yeah, got lots of credits on the IMDb.
Yeah,
get spud nuts on it.
Okay, so one quality piece of writing is when Mandy says that, "Oh, we shouldn't have trusted, like, whatever his name is."
Oh, that was like the first line of the show.
And it's like, of course you shouldn't have trusted him. Like, how are you just realizing that now? He kidnapped you, brought you to a place, told you, go here at this time, and, like, you'll find this, and then you did it?
You shouldn't have trusted a button. Idea that he would just hand over his brother.
I'm pretty sure you don't know better than a CIA analyst.
Anyways, all I've written is no duh.
And then I guess, like, from this, like, meeting thing transitions with this, like, very stylistic camera pan from sun. There's like a crossfade into the sun and then a pan down, and the camera kind of like tracks into the helicopter crash. Is that what's next?
I think so. There's the titties in the helmet.
Yeah, and that's Jay's helmet,
is
right?
It?
Obviously.
Does Jay?
Well, he's the only one who doesn't have a helmet.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think Metters. Right? I think Metters doesn't have a helmet.
Yeah, but he's concussed, so I felt like that was the introduction to the concussion. So he lost his helmet, hit his head, and is concussed. So Jay brings masturbation material on all missions.
Yeah. What was it? What was in his helmet? Just like a pin-up
It was a photo
girl,
of his
or?
Daughter.
No, it was like the same. Yeah. Oops. Of course, it was a photo of his daughter, but that was to the side. But the main photo was like basically the same kind of like cartoony like pinup girl that's in his man cave.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Pretty lame.
Yeah.
It's like wholesome masturbatory material.
Yeah. So then there's big.
So they pan in, and then Clay.
What are you doing, man? That's Carl.
Kind of like gets up, and he's the first one to get up. And he kind of like shoulders a lot of the mission later. And he goes to Jay and drags him out of the helicopter, and there's a big shootout. And Jay's like pretty, I guess, concussed. He's out of it.
Yeah.
In this scene, were they Nori's men or Nori's brother's men that are shooting at them?
It wasn't the guys that they like ran into. The village guys were still on their way. I can't remember who they were.
Yeah, I think it's the guys that shot them down in the first place, wouldn't it be? I would think it's like they just shot the copter down.
But there were like 20 or 30 people shooting at them, and only three or four guys were at that place. So. Yeah.
I think that they just had a ton of guys and a ton of firepower ready to take down these copters.
What I thought was.
And they're all the brothers' guys.
Well, they had all those SAMs.
The SAMs are really effective against copters.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay,
so what I thought was funny is that they're all down on the ground. They're basically like laying around all the SEALs next to the helicopter. And these guys come over the hill and shoot at them. And they're just like, drr, 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 like for quite a while. And they kill one guy. And they show the perspective from
and
their
they
perspective.
They killed the best guy. Fucking
and it looked like,
was
it, looked
the
like
best.
It was like maybe 50 yards away.
You mean Jay Jr.?
You're shooting into a fish. Like,
Dave?
What's that?
Dave?
Dave
Meadows, fucking hero of SEAL Team.
So that's the young guy who gets killed.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave Meadows.
Yeah, Dave Meadows.
Please.
You mean Jay Jr.
Dave Meadows.
Do you want to change your name to Homer Jr.? The kids can call you Hoju.
Jeju.
I will not call him Jeju. I will call him Dave Meadows.
We'll try and understand each other.
Okay.
So they kind of like fend them off. The least trained guy obviously gets shot because the SEALs know how to dodge bullets. He doesn't, so he gets shot.
Yes. I would like, okay, so Richard, I think, used this acronym, or who used the acronym? The SAM. Sam?
Adam.
Sam?
Yeah. Adam did.
Service to Air Missiles.
Yeah, there you go. I have that written down. They explained it. I think they've gotten into the routine of using the whole name of something and then using the acronym.
Which is standard publication nomenclature.
It is. First you state it,
and then you can use the acronym.
And they've always do this in between. They make little brackets with their hands when they say SAM after.
And then they go S, and then do a punctuation mark, A, and then punctuation mark, and then M, and then there's one more punctuation
Except,
mark.
You know,
in the next scene where they talk about the Russian SA-7.
We're certain that Jason Cecil got taken out by a surface-to-air missile. Seems like an awful lot of firepower for local Taliban.
Probably looking at a Russian SA-7.
Oh.
They don't, they just say, like, I guess they're talking about something similar to an RPG, so it's assumed that that's what it is.
But they do say CCP.
That's a missile, yeah.
You guys, when is the last time they had a strap?
Well, Meadows is kind of a strap. Meadows seems like a complete knob. And he's not even wearing the same shit as them. Like,
he's a pilot, isn't he? He's the pilot. Helicopter pilot.
Why did he run out like that?
Because he's a dumb training helicopter pilot.
He's like, you guys, it's so exciting.
Okay. So Blackburn's like, we're not sending any backups because.
Any more copters?
they've got this, like...
anti-copter missiles.
What's the heat-seeking missiles, right? What are they called?
The Russian SA-7.
Holder, still one of the most lethal air defense systems in the world.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, like, oh, you're talking about the SAM.
But the SA-7 is the launcher of the SAM.
No. The SA-7 is a manned, portable, shoulder-fired, low-altitude surface-to-air missile system, also known as MANPAD.
Ooh, MANPAD.
Yeah, MANPAD. Man, do you know where I learn all my stuff is Metal Gear. It is, like, ridiculously accurate for all the equipment stuff. So yeah, MANPADs.
So yeah, they can't send in any more copters until they take out the SAM. The closest drone is 40 minutes away.
Okay, the closest, and this is what I'm going to ask you guys. Donald Draper's wife says, the closest unmanned Predator drone. Aren't all Predator drones unmanned?
Ooh.
Hmm. Sorry,
I don't think
Draper's
she used
one.
The term drone. I think she said the closest unmanned
Predator drone.
I don't think
she said
Margaret,
unmanned Predator
okay,
drone.
Margaret, I did not watch it in 1.7 speed.
Okay. And I hope that we can have some evidence of how accurate Machik is.
Best I can find is an unmanned Reaper drone.
The closest unmanned Predator drone.
Reaper.
Predator.
Unmanned.
Drone.
Unmanned Reaper
drone.
I think
I'll paste it in here numerously.
Yes, I hope so.
There's a couple things before it cuts back to Draper. There's like a lot of shots of Jay, and he's wearing a patch. Is that patch the Echo Team patch, or is that the patch of Bravo Team? Like, it's the red patch on his arm, and
it looks like a skull, but not really. It's a big red thing, and
it's got the goopies on it.
That's their patch, and I know that from Instagram. Okay. I never noticed it in the show.
I think that since it's a Lynchian dream sequence, that patch is symbolic of a menstrual cycle.
But that patch is all over their Instagram. Like, all the actors who are in the show post that patch and stuff. Okay. So I think
even Judd?
Maybe Judd has, but I think... I don't know if he has. For sure, Dog Guy has. Absolutely.
His name is Brock.
Brock. Absolutely, Brock has. Which I know from Instagram, he had a leg injury.
Ooh.
Get well soon, Brock.
Yeah. You haven't sucked yet, Brock.
I missed
Keep
you
it
in
up.
This episode.
He was in there.
Where was he?
He was with Clay to get the sands.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They just said, come on, Brock.
The
and then he kind of like ran over the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Them running up the hill is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
They're such out of shape actors, and it really shows.
Right.
But like they're also like, come on, boys, let's go. And then they're slogging it up the hill.
Yeah.
Before slogging up the hill, did you guys hear... one thing I want to mention is Judd Lorman's beard is getting quite big.
Yeah, Judd's the best.
Yeah. And the other thing, did you hear him say to the Hilo pilots to do a loiter pattern?
Loiter, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a cool-sounding term, but it's just, you know, loiter around.
Yeah,
but you know, like Judd could say anything, and I don't think it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I believe
where I like
Judd
to
said, "Cool off the LC."
No.
Nice.
Yeah, what do a loiter pattern while the LC cools off.
So
LZ.
I believe
LC
is line of control.
Oh,
because that was all I could see. But
landing zone.
I think he's probably saying LZ.
Okay, I will.
Oh, that makes
more
sense.
That I believe that these episodes are like they're like designed to be very Vietnam, from the Hueys to like the language, and then the finale music is like this twangy kind of like 70s rock and roll banjo kazooie.
There was a sweet comment
on TV Time about that. Someone was like, "Oh, and the sick guitar solo at the end."
well, so We'll talk about the end music at the end, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it again later?
Sure.
I hope so.
But I just feel like this whole thing, it has a very Afghanistan has a Vietnam vibe. It's this kind of guerrilla warfare, valleys.
They're going to, in like, history books, be like, they should have never been
absolutely,
there
it's just a failing war. It's the exact same thing, like drug running, funding
although
the war.
Although not nearly illegal. As many people have. Americans have died.
Oh, I don't know how many have died. It's only 50,000 died in Vietnam. Maybe that many died.
You think so? I thought it was in the thousands, but I didn't. Has it? I don't know. Like,
probably not.
Certainly, way more.
And do we include the post deployment suicides?
Oh yeah.
I think we should.
Yeah, we should. I mean, how many?
Did Vietnam include that?
I don't know, but I feel like the suicides were
but
much higher now than before.
Really? No, I think they just didn't keep track of it.
Maybe.
They treat their veterans like shit.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, you, like, deploy with the best of intentions and this kind of, like, drummed up idea about being, like, a righteous crusader, and then you murder a bunch of children with a grenade because your shoulder didn't heal. And then you gotta come back to the world.
And this is, like, a made-up stat that, like, 70% of American homeless people are veterans.
Yeah.
It's, like...
a made-up stat? like, you just made that up?
No, I can't remember what the exact stat is, but a huge proportion of veterans become homeless, and a huge proportion of homeless people are veterans. And it's just, like, this... they have no support, and they're like, a lot of people that join up in the first place are joining up because they don't have a lot of financial stability and mental, like, support. All this.
Well,
sort
I think
of stuff.
Hannibal Buress has this joke.
Yeah.
Well, should we support the troops? Like, all of them?
Well, I mean, that's like. Universally, everyone has to say, oh, support the troops. Like,
yeah, but they piss on
I mean, this is like getting, if our listenership is remotely similar to the viewership of this show, I'm pretty sure that anyone who
Well, they should know
this
that's
show,
a massive hypocrisy, like, that there's kind of like, what's it called, lip service to support the troops is a bunch of horseshit. They get, you know, destroyed, and they get neglected, and who gives a shit? So, support the troops.
Yeah, gotta support the troops. Gotta support the troops.
And then if you say anything against it, like, those people get incredibly violent and hostile, but they're immense hypocrites.
Yeah, gotta support troops.
Fuck off for the troops.
Yeah, because they see you like a homeless guy, and they don't, it's like, I don't know, there's some...
That homeless guy, according to that stat, it was probably a veteran.
Well, speaking of homeless people, I think Jade is a great homeless, deranged homeless man impression.
Oh,
this is where he starts chatting with Dave, right?
You got a first name?
Yeah, of course.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
Yeah, sorry, Dave.
Dave!
Dave.
D-A-V-E. Dave's not here.
Well, on the last episode, I was like, I wonder if Jay directing is going to, like, create some sort of Jay pageant.
Although we're skipping over one scene, which is, maybe it'll come up later in the next episode, but there was a bit of a beef between Ray and Beardo.
Oh,
they sounded that out, though.
Over
that was
the,
a bit later.
No, that's a bit later. He starts talking to
Meadows a lot.
Yeah, you guys are right. Okay.
Because Sonny beaks off about how helicopter pilots are a bunch of pussies, and then the guys get into the house. Draper talks about the Reaper drone. They're back in the house, and Clay starts talking some stuff. And then...
Unmanned Reaper drone.
Yeah, unmanned Reaper drone. And then I just love Metters. Metters is the best.
Oh, you mean JJ?
Why you calling him Metters? Is his, like, last name Metters? Is the character?
Yeah, like, the first introduction, this guy, like, stands up in the helicopter. Hey, guys. We're like, Metters, you're okay. And he's like, oh, yeah, guys, I'm cool. And then he steps out of the helicopter and apparently gets an AK round through both lungs.
Yeah,
but
spoiler alert.
And here's another spoiler alert. But I thought it was like right away. This kind of like it just reeked of it's all a dream. So right away, I'm just like, well, he's talking to a corpse.
Yeah,
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't pick up that on that until the next scene where he's talking to the corpse.
But it's pretty.
I think they
did
a good job of showing that right away by making Metters just such a fucking like such a weird. I don't know. Just the dialogue
I feel it was unnatural and clumsy. It was, but I think that was unintentional. I actually think that they tried to do this like clever kind of misdirect when Jeju says like, "Yeah, you're Jason Hayes." He's like, "Oh, have we met?" And then all of a sudden, like Jay's amnesia plays into his delusion, kind of trying to like reinforce the fact that it's kind of like actually happening, but it's a delusion playing upon a delusion, mm-hmm. which could have been good if it wasn't overall so clumsy and shitty and obvious. But I like that part. And it could have been
so the clumsy dialogue, like one of the clumsy dialogue things that I think was funny is like when he's like, "You ever get used to it?" Like Dave's like, "You ever get used to it getting shot at and getting shot?" And he's like, "Well, you know, you get used to getting shot at, but you don't get used to getting shot."
You ever get used to this?
Which part?
I don't know. Getting shot at. Getting shot.
Getting shot at. Well, you get used to that. Getting shot at pretty much sucks. It sucks.
Yeah. And it's so lame. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, getting shot sucks.
It was so lame. Like, it was just delivery and terrible
that
dialogue.
That scene is like 8 hours of shooting that scene, and Jay's has been like, "We're doing it again."
You think he's running back and forth? He's like doing the scene, running to the like.
Yeah, play it for me.
Let's do it again.
Like, how do directors direct themselves? Like, do they constantly review
the director? No, other people are kind of stepping in for them.
So
the thing that I found interesting is last episode of Unsealed. Matik, you mentioned how I wonder if there's going to be a lot of Jay in this episode. And there was a fuck ton of Jay.
There was a
and
lot.
And it was zoom in close up of Jay, distance shot of Metters with Jay in the foreground, zoom in close up of Jay, distance shot of Metters with Jay in the foreground. Like, Jay was in every fucking scene.
And I'll flatter myself some more, because when I said that, I also said, I wonder if there's going to be, like, a lot of shots of Jay with his eyes darting around a lot, and that's his number one tool.
Yeah.
Creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
Classic Boreanaz.
Classic Boreanaz method acting, but I guess it works here because he's concussed, so I guess I'll get it whatever. But I think that the natural state of the character is a concussed person, so it was convincing.
Yeah, he's got a lot of head trauma, I think.
Yeah. Like, you mean all the time, like not just when he is concussed, but
it was a very natural performance.
Yeah.
But I do think it was gratuitous.
He played a lot of football in high school.
Yeah. Oh yeah, do you think he married his high school sweetheart?
Well, so that's what I was getting at, that like kind of like spoiler alert, but I feel like he's talking to his younger self, right?
Yeah.
He's
advising
himself to so this episode almost felt to me like old man Hayes is like going to lead the team at the end of this. It's got that feeling that he's going to pass the torch to Ray.
Yeah, Jay
and
is gone.
Is going to become...
He literally says, "What are you doing here?"
To himself, to him.
Yeah, and just like, and then later there's more of like, get out.
And he gets the names of the like former love lives mixed up. So he's talking about his showing off for his wife and how he met her. And what really is of value to him. And I actually thought that, like, although it was done very poorly, that this, if the whole show was, like, this character-oriented, I'd be far more interested in it. Because this, like, there was a firefight going on, but, like, whatever, we'll get a little bit of shootouts, but there's, like, interesting, potentially interesting stuff going on. With, you know, the character that we've been watching for 20 episodes and know nothing about the person.
Mm. Yeah, we and found like, out that his there, wife like... saved him from doing a belly flop in a well.
Yeah, he was showing off for her, and that's a good story. And I actually thought that Boreanaz was out-acted. Like, it was humiliating, like the...
Yeah, Dave was a way better actor.
Matters is the best.
But I guess we are kind of getting a little ahead. There's the scene where they come across the scouts, right?
Yeah, Sunny and Ray have that fight.
You mean the token dirty Afghan kid?
They weren't scouts. Ray was in the right. What is Operation Red Wing? I never looked that up. Did anyone look that up?
I didn't see it.
I don't know.
So they just had a hunting rifle and Ray just unloaded it and then let him go, right?
Yeah.
And they ran off tied up down a road.
Yeah.
Good luck, kids. Yeah.
I think that was the end of it and that Ray was correct. I doubt that those two guys had anything to do with anything.
Well, so if he's wrong, then him killing that kid is now jeopardizing the team even further.
Mm.
I don't know. We'll see.
It seems unlikely.
They're trying to vindicate Ray, but it's too damage done. Ray's damage good.
They're trying to show him as a thoughtful, like, because he said to Sunny, "You're being emotional, like you're," and Sunny's like, "But."
And Sunny replied,
"The whole time, Sunny was being." Very emotional.
And he always is. That's his character. It went back to Sunny being Sunny under pressure.
And I really think for Sunny, he doesn't have anything outside of the seals. And it is, like, his number one. Whereas Ray has, you know, a wife and kid at home.
And debt.
He's got a humiliating few episodes to live down.
When Sunny... yells, "I am not emotional," right at the end of the scene. It just felt like this, like, really shitty, like, sitcom line or something, you know? Like, "I am not emotional!
You are emotional. It was the right call. Let's go! I am not emotional!"
Like, the end of that scene was them just kind of, like, calmly walking off, and all of a sudden they're not in a hurry
anymore. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine now.
But then they do come across the... I guess we'll skip over the scene we already talked about with Jay and Dave.
But, like,
Dave.
Belly slam. What the fuck is a belly slam?
He was a belly flop.
Yeah.
He says, "Try the triple flip thing and crash the belly slam from 35 feet.
Oh, very nice.
Oh.
I can see why you have 6 pages of notes now.
That sounds like it would hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I could kill you almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably do some damage. But learn to live. Or live, whatever. Okay, so... Now they go over the scene. They come across the copter crash, and they say, like, "What would you call it?"
No, I think it's funny calling it copter.
The helo crash.
Oh,
or chopper. Chopper's fine.
Oh, is copter not? Is copter not a standard?
It's just, like, not cool.
It is when you're 5.
Well, you guys, I. Probably the last time I paid attention to helicopters was when I was 5. So there you go.
Helicopter is fine. We know.
And only mature people who, like, pay attention to, like, the cool helos and what models they are, then, like, that they're like,
Hueys. They're Vietnam era Hueys.
They know the cool terminology. I only know the lame terminology.
They actually told us they're Hueys. They're borrowing them from some, like, search and rescue group or something. Or
Okay, so the Hueys, when they come across the Huey crash...
say the downed Huey.
I actually think I just have... What do I have written down?
Was it a downy Huey?
They just said, it's hard to believe that anyone could walk away from this. And when they said that at the time, I thought, I guess we did see a few dead bodies at the very beginning.
Yep.
But it also seemed like everyone survived. But I guess we found out soon that there were five casualties.
This is where they're doing, like, so they just came over the hill and they're all like mm-hmm. super heavy breathing.
I'm trying.
And there's like and there's this delay waiting for a radio call back, and all you hear is heavy breathing. Like, it was kind of strange. Yeah.
I like it when they get to, I think they get to the top of the hill, and one guy is taking a knee, and they're just like, all right, everyone, you're really tired. You're at the top of the hill. Take a knee. Okay, let's go, boys.
It's hard running up a hill. I can see.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, and California,
in full uniform, terrible, all your gear. Yeah, sand is awful.
Yeah, you're like a not a shape actor.
Yeah,
but when they, you're just having a super hard time.
When they get into the house and everyone's kind of like arrives and everyone's happy. And then, like, all of a sudden, Jay is like, hey, guys, I'm still here. Look at me. I'm Jay. He fucking pops up. Fuck off, Jay.
The whole episode is old man Jay coming out of the back and he's like, what's going on out here?
He's, like, stumbling around. Clearly should not be standing.
And, yeah, they should have disarmed him. Obviously, he's not, like, lucid.
Yeah, not only is he concussed, but now he's also high on morphine.
Yeah,
like morphine got, like, three fucks you up big time. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
And he does like a lot of hits.
Yeah, he keeps hitting the morphine.
Immediately addicted and abusive of it.
But I want to know when we get. Are we at the planning scene yet? Or
where they talking about the university?
Drawings in
Vancouver?
The dirt.
I love that. The University of Vancouver.
Okay. Oh, those Canadians.
Except, you know, Mandy, she's Canadian.
Oh, nice.
She's
I think she's from Montreal, but she's from Quebec. And
so they really are her Canadian friends.
She would know that that is a make-believe school.
Yeah, but like, they have to say that.
Yeah, they have to say it.
Yeah.
And I just would be, I don't know, the University of Vancouver just sounds so not like a real thing.
It sounds maybe, like it could be a real thing, though. Like,
maybe they meant the University of Vancouver.
That's Vancouver.
The Vancouver Island.
Oh, right,
University.
Right. Yeah.
The University of Vancouver Island hardly does research of that
quality. No, well, it's not a research institution.
They do some research, though.
They're considered a university, but I think it's undergrad teaching only.
I think they do some research, but it's very marginal.
Very minor. And also, no university is named after a city, is it?
Yeah, Montreal.
University
of Montreal.
There's no University of Montreal.
Isn't there?
What
there's
about
University of, there's
Berkeley.
A University of Quebec at Montreal.
NYU?
All of the Berkeley is the University of California.
What about NYU?
That's a state.
No, it's in New York.
In New York State.
There's a university in Lethbridge called Lethbridge University.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
there we go.
What about UVic? University of Victoria.
Oh, that's true.
All these universities.
I think most are probably named after the city.
Really? But no, okay, all the Berkeley or whatever, they're UC Berkeley. UC David. It's University of California.
Right.
There's very uncommon, I think, to have a city named university.
University of Canberra River.
You know what I thought was pretty strange is how like quickly that intel was gained. Like she just suddenly like 5 minutes later had some university study aerial or satellite photography.
And like why wouldn't you have that
before
you went into
it's strange.
It's kind of like you're going on this stupid mission that you know is suspicious. Like, why wouldn't you already know that shit? Like, I don't know. Whatever.
My favorite part of that whole scene was when he's like, tell me you found the heat signature of that missile launch.
Hey, Perry, we got him.
Tell me you found the heat signature of that missile launch.
We found the heat signature from the missile launch.
It was just like, oh, what's she going to say? Oh, I hope she sure found the heat signature of that missile launch by the Vancouver University researchers that were totally taking the heat signatures of the area. Great.
Mm-hmm. Except when were those heat signatures taken?
A minute ago.
Yes.
Okay. Like they're live because they saw.
Let's see.
Oh, maybe not.
There was a trail of the missile being fired out of the missile launcher.
That's what it seemed like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Jay tells Ray about Cutter. Steve Moore, not yet.
Ray goes. That happens. But before that, they mention QRF. Do you guys know what QRF is?
Yes.
Quick response.
Yeah.
It's quick reaction force. Quick reaction force, not quick response. Come on.
Right. Yeah, but you guys totally missed out on another thing that I totally looked up at some point, and I don't remember what it is now, so there.
Alright. So yeah, this is when
This has one of my favorite and laugh out loud moments. Was when Jay goes back into his room and he sits on the water trough and gazes at his image and then rakes his hand across the water, which crossfades into the next scene.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did he hit the water, though? I thought he just pawed at the water and missed it.
No, he's splashing his reflection.
He, got rid of his reflection. Okay.
That is very art school. Yeah.
No, that was great.
And you can just, I just love imagining Jay setting up that shot.
And I doubt it was written into the script.
Where all the lighting's supposed to be, and
like that probably
justifying it with his pseudo-psychological bullshit.
What if when we go look back at, if you were to go look back at that, what if the reflection is Dave?
Dave's not here!
No.
I watched it 1 or 2.7 times.
But His American flag on his uniform was particularly prominent in the reflection, I thought. But we're kind of okay. Ray
bunker busting was pretty sweet.
Yeah, the little raid was fun.
Jay tells Ray about this before the splash.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mara, I guess, wants to say something about that.
Yeah, well, okay. I feel like in this episode, they use the expression bad guys a lot. Do people in war say bad guys?
No, they call them baddies.
Baddies. Yeah, that's what I have no idea. Maybe that is what they say, the bad guys. I'm going to go kill some bad guys. I'm going to get the bad guys. Oh, there's 30 bad guys coming your way. It's like,
Bush popularize that? Saying
maybe.
Bad guys?
It just seems so generic and
I'm pretty sure it's just old Westerns.
It's like you're detaching yourself from who you're actually killing or fighting or whatever it is, but they're not just all bad guys, are they?
Well, according to them, they are.
Yeah, you're the bad guys.
How could you kill someone who's not bad?
Yeah.
Bad guys. Okay. Next scene.
So they do the raid, right?
Yeah.
Clay and Brock.
Yeah.
And they throw
Sonny.
A satchel charge in there.
Sonny does the suppressing fire very well.
Yeah.
Also, Blackburn says, under no circumstances are you to retrieve Nori Hilani.
Right.
What was ISR? She says ISR is not an option. I didn't check it up, but I just see it in my notes.
Infrared? Infrasatellite red?
Maybe something to do with drones.
I think
drones,
it was the drone strike. I thought it was a drone strike that wasn't possible. But yeah, it throws in the big bag of explosives. Everyone in the control center cheers and claps.
Yes.
And Judd's like, oh, calm down, guys. I gotta call in the quick reaction force. Wait. Or quick response? Wait. Just like, stop clapping and cheering, guys. I've gotta make the phone call.
But before he makes the phone call, he exits the the portable and says you guys, I'm gonna make a call if anyone wants to watch.
Guys, we're about to make a call now.
Jay is morphing up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three shots to the leg.
Yeah.
Morph, morph, morph.
And then there's this super lame argument between him and Dave about the afraid of failure argument. Oh my god.
Right. And they bring up all the faults in the storyline.
You can't admit you're afraid of failure. Can't be afraid of failure. You can't admit that you're afraid of failure. You already failed. Yeah, you did. Alana? Huh? The friend you got killed, Nate? That little Syrian boy with his lungs on fire? How about those 46 numbers you still got in your cell phone?
And also Dave knows all sorts of personal information about him, and it's so obvious that it's like not real, yet later they still have the big reveal that the guy's dead for all the like super morons that didn't quite get it yet. The show is so condescending to the audience.
What was Dave talking about when he mentioned all the contacts on his cell phone?
Like, because he still has that cell phone, and he went and found that woman.
No. He said 47 you still keep 47 contacts on your cell phone. What is that?
Oh, that's probably 47 dead friends that are still on his cell phone, maybe. But I thought it was a reference to the cell phone of the woman.
Nate's cell phone. Because you know, a lot of people die.
Right.
Jay probably still has all their contacts still on his cell phone.
Yeah, and now he's got to put the pilot on there.
Yeah, matters!
Yeah. I was thinking for a second
he puts them on after they die. He's like, what was the phone number?
Matters was like a real nice guy.
Well, that's Jay probably learned that from Sims, because by the way, here's a great Sims exploit. If you make friends and then you trap them with the couch and you kill them in your house, they stay as your friends. Oh. And then you don't have to keep up with your friends. You can focus on your career.
Yeah, I used to kill people by blocking off the doors after you built the room.
Good thing to know for this exploit, your character has to have high intelligence, otherwise you won't be able to sleep at night because of all the ghosts in the house.
This is Sims 2, by the way. Right? Sims 2.
Yeah.
Just in case the audience is wondering how they could play this game. Okay.
Jay wanders out into the combat zone.
Yeah, Grandpa Jay. This is like that. You guys ever see that movie Nebraska?
Yeah.
No.
Where like this old man just goes wandering off.
Will Forte and an old guy in it.
Nebraska.
It's by the guy who made The Descendants with George Clooney.
Yeah, I know of the movie. I just never got around to watching it.
Anyway, this is that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he finds Nori Helani.
Mm. Right.
He does, yeah.
Or did he?
Right. Arsenal.
It was all a dream.
I think that, so at the end of it, I have a note here that says Greasy Beard gave some solid medical advice. So is Greasy Beard the medic on the team?
Medic?
I thought Jay was at one point in the Russia episode.
No. You know when they shot that girl in her house when she was studying late at night? You know, it was Greasy Hair
in Yemen.
And Clay. Yeah, they were the ones, okay. And he was the one that was doing the main, making the call of whether she was stable or not or whatever.
Oh, nice.
What medical stuff did he do?
He talked about the guy's, like, I don't know, femur. He's like, oh, his femur is popped, and if he gets jolted, he's ruined or whatever.
But do you remember how that came about? Is like, he came up. Because, like, they're talking about doing the run on this, like, other area.
Yeah, they want to...
And then he comes up and is like, no, we got to get the medical out. And then Jay's like, oh, no, I'm fine. And then he's like, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. I didn't even know
this. Yeah. Jay's just like, fuck it, like...
Let's fly to Parasnad.
One thing I'm surprised is how seriously they're taking Jay's, like, observation of reality, and they're actually taking his, like, shit seriously.
Well, Ray does. He tells Ray.
Kind of thinking that Jay was overplaying his illness. Like, they're like, why is he acting like such a fucking idiot? He just got hit in the head.
At the end, he tells Ray to tell the man that Nori admitted to all this stuff, and then Ray doesn't. Like, he's not taking him seriously.
No, I don't think they're taking it seriously.
But they discuss whether or not they can do it.
Yeah. Like, well, the team... Sunny takes it seriously, but I don't think the others do.
Hmm. So they're absolutely not going there, and they're flying back to base now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they left.
Seem
to be the case. Hmm. Yeah.
And how does the fucking whole scene end? What, the entire show ends with a shot.
CCR.
Hmm?
They hire CCR, whoever's left of CCR.
Yeah. Yeah. CCR and cover band.
CCR and a fucking close-up. It just pan, like, close-up zoom of Jay's fucking face.
J-Dog.
Show over. David Boreanaz is, like, jerking off to this episode.
This is really
going
to make me...
But we did kind of skip through the scene where he chokes the old guy to death.
He doesn't choke him.
He just dies.
The old guy just dies.
I know, but he has his hand around his neck the whole time.
He does.
He shoved his hand into his wound to wake him up, I believe.
Yeah, he did that. And then, like, he extracts information. It's also like he's the only one who hears it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it shows, like, so they're trying to do this classic, like, is he, like, you know, delusional, or is it actually happening? But just the way it's presented, I feel like it's not.
I'm convinced that the Steve Porter Cutter Helani whatever thing is real.
Yeah, I believe that he actually, the old guy actually did say that.
Yeah.
So, like, setting it up like it's maybe not real, it's not working, because there's no, the way the camera was being used was too, it was too upfront about it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what I mean?
I think that Jay is supposed to have received that intel, and people won't believe him because he was all fucked up.
Yeah.
But that intel was real. But yeah, it was just kind of sloppy. Are we
supposed to be questioning that? Because I am not. I believe that he absolutely has got the intel, and that's legitimate intel. But if we're supposed to be questioning whether or not he's concussed or not, then I'm not. And I guess we'll find out down the line the show can't be like, oh, Jay just got concussed. Like, the whole arc of the season is like, Jay got concussed and he fucked up.
Yeah. This whole time he's just been high.
Cutter is the big bad baddie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They did not build up Cutter as a big enough villain for him to be, like, responsible for this massive thing. So he had, like, what, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes of screen time total in this whole arc?
Like that he had Echo Team killed?
Yeah. Like, that's a pretty, like, cool villain to have, right? It's, like, a cool storyline that was completely squandered on a bunch of, like, nonsense bullshit.
And he's...
Because they rounded up, like, 8 middlemen.
Yeah.
And he totally has, like, the high, like, the super high-class British... voice, like, villain voice, you know?
He is, yeah, they're like snottier, damn it. Like, Southern.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. This is the bloke who got me on the penis before. What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? How dare get your hands off me? Ta-ta and farewell.
So we covered the music and the exfil. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Jay is rethinking his life in the seals. Clearly.
Yeah, seemingly.
He's gonna, and he's rethinking the value of his family. His wife, she was like, so they're not divorced or legally separated or anything, but she had said, like, your priority is your job and not your family.
But do you know what I think is just driving his, crisis of conscience?
What's that?
He lost his favorite helmet.
With the boobies?
With the boobies. Yeah. Why am I even here?
Yeah. You're not a hero. I guess we kind of skipped over the whole talk about how being a hero is...
Well, that's apparently why he joined the SEALs. Like, if he is talking to his, like, young self, he joined up not to do well patriotically, but just to be, like, a jag-off, like, hero.
Which is why...
Like, run into the bullets until you die.
Yeah, and it explains why, like, when the reporter, several episodes ago, like, kind of tried to get out of him, like, why are you here, or what do you think you're doing, or whatever. He's like, I'm doing my job, or whatever, but he's not actually considering
why
anyone is there.
Yeah. Well, like, and that's what I believe, like, Ray is there for. I think it is vanity. I think he didn't talk about his shoulder, and I think, like, the financial thing is, like, why... The show is, like, claiming he did it, but I think he just loves being a SEAL, and all these guys love being SEALs, and, like, it's part of their, like, self-identity.
They really thought about why they're there, but no one would be there.
Yeah, like, the ex-Special Forces dudes are always, like, hinted at as being, like, rich. So Sonny's buddy, Trux's boyfriend, Cro-Mag face, they always talk about his wealth and stuff, but, like... He's also still not a SEAL. Like, he feels shitty about not being a SEAL. And then this Cutter dude, well, he's, like, British Special Forces, so whatever. But he's definitely not a SEAL. But anyway, he's still sitting in an office making lots of money. And
that's kind of like the sciences. You get a PhD in academics, and then you can work for next to nothing in an objective, like, academic institution, or you can, like, go into consulting and make a lot of money, but then you're also, like, a filthy dirtbag for doing that.
Go get a job at it.
So you can get your $50,000 a year and work your academic job, and then you have the prestige of being, like, untainted by, like, bias, or you can just kind of, like, be bought out.
Although, if you're a prof, you're getting, like, 80 to start, but it's still nothing compared to consulting.
So I guess, is it time for Saddest SEAL?
You were just trying to help when I was kind of being a dick, though. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too, right? That was the problem. Problem was, I was never here.
I got so drunk, I peed myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. Might as well.
Well... I'm going to go with...
Richard, yeah. Richard, wait. Hold on a second. What? I just want to know who you think the Saddest SEAL is.
What?
I want to know who you think the Saddest
SEAL
is.
Oh, well, actually, I was just about to start off with the Saddest SEAL. I'm just do the obvious choice. It's Jay. Jay is the Saddest SEAL. You know, he's having all this trouble. Get, like, coming to terms with, you know, what he's doing, and you know, he's all fucked up. So, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mitek?
Me?
Who's your saddest?
Well, I'm going to go and bounce off Richard, and I'm going to go to Jeju.
Oh, because, the dead guy?
Yeah, because he didn't even get to grow up to be the saddest seal.
Poor guy.
I mean, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. He was so happy, and then he dies.
Yeah, he had that girlfriend who wants to do the belly flop.
So is Jay's wife's name Anna?
No, Alana.
Oh.
I
don't know. But the guy mentioned
Alana.
Her.
Alana is the one that helped him after he belly flopped into the water.
Oh.
Into the Wawa. Oh. It hurt his belly.
Okay.
Adam, tell us, who is your saddest seal?
I'm going to say Clay.
What?
Interesting.
Because...
Well, it's going to take all your effort.
Clay finally realized that his hero is a fucking bumbling old man loser.
Oh, yeah. He's got a concussion.
That could be very traumatic. It is very, like, old, like fatherly figure, like, decaying in the back room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clay did a good job. Good job, Clay.
He did do a good job. He planned a lot of things this time around.
And he totally, like, ended up really far from the helicopter. And
totally fine!
Mm-hmm. That was great. He must have been very good at tumbling.
Tuck and roll.
Yeah.
Margaret. His saving throw was really good.
Yes, is it?
Who is the saddest seal?
Thee or my?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Jay for a 3 out of 4.
Well, I went Jeju.
Oh, did you?
I did. Oh, you might have heard J2.
Oh, no. You know what? I just have a bad memory. And it was
Jay. You never listened to me.
It was Jay. Jay was very sad, plainly. He is questioning his entire life, although I do think once he's off the morphine, he'll forget that he ever questioned it in the first place. The only thing that might happen is that he'll, like, reconcile with his family and say that he'll reprioritize them, but then he probably...
And stop harassing his daughter.
But then he probably won't in the long run. I think in the long run, he's still always going to have a struggle between family and work and being a hero in the eyes of the American public and being a hero to his kids, you know? I don't know. All that type of stuff. And in the long run... Jay is a sad sack of shit, and he always will be. The end.